precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, the tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. U.S. slams Israel over human rights. The U.S. State Department had released its annual human rights report some time ago, citing Israel for alleged human rights abuses against the Palestinians. And of course, I must add, this is not the first time they have done that, as far as this kind of report. The report claimed that numerous serious human rights abuses had been committed by the Israeli Defense Forces during its anti-terror operations. Specifically cited was the accidental killing of civilians in the Israeli Defense Force raids on terror bases. Ironically, the report comes on the heels of hundreds of Afghani and Iraqi civilians being inadvertently killed or have been killed during the U.S. military operations against al-Qaeda terrorists and the forces of Saddam Hussein regime over these many months. Washington has consistently laid the blame for these civilian deaths on the shoulders of al-Qaeda and the Iraqi regime themselves for sadistically using civilian areas as bases for hostile actions. Israel's attempts to hold the Palestinian Authority responsible for similar collateral damage inflicted by the IDF have been met with sharp criticism from the U.S. administration. Now more than ever, observers in Jerusalem view the inclusion of Israel in the State Department's human rights report as an attempt to curry favor with disgruntled Arab allies by appearing even-handed, so reported in the Jerusalem News Wire. Well, what it is, folks, is simply a double standard. You know a double standard when you see one. Here, we get away with killing civilians all in the name of war and wiping out terrorism and weapons of mass destruction but the same standard is not applied to the nation of Israel. So, that is the reality today, is Israel is and seems to be a continual scapegoat for the politicians. I mean, how can you even come close to comparing the nation of Israel, which is the most democratic, most humanitarian country in all of the Middle East? How can you, in fact, they're the only democratic country, a real, true democratic country in all the Middle East, and how can you dare to compare them with, let's say, China, North Korea, and the Palestinian Authority? Well, on the positive side of things, more effective medication for epilepsy sufferers. Nina Hassarenin, a 27-year-old Hebrew University student who came from Finland to Israel 4 years ago, has developed a new medication that has proven to be effective against epilepsy, migraine headaches, and chronic pain. Epilepsy is a disorder of the central nervous system that can cause violent seizures and requires patients to take medication for the rest of their lives to prevent attacks. Though a number of anti-epileptic medicines have been developed, they are not effective for more than 30% of patients. The new medication is said to be more effective than any other epilepsy drug on the market and free from any of the major side effects associated with them. Full clinical trials still need to be carried out before the medication will become available to the general public. Now, that demonstrates how God has blessed the Jewish people and blessed the world as a result of the contribution that the nation of Israel continues to make. The Red Heifer, the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, has recently revealed that a red heifer had been born in Israel, and that Rabbi Menachem Makeover and Rabbi Chaim Richman traveled to the farm where the heifer is located to inspect and validate its status. The rabbis found it to be kosher and were satisfied that this heifer could be a candidate to be used in the process of purification described in the book of Numbers, chapter 19. Those associated with the Temple Institute see this as an important development towards the rebuilding of the temple. The Institute is currently producing the garments of the high priest, and in particular, the breastplate, which has 12 stones set in golden settings and engraved with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, some of you would remember that a number of years ago, they also had another red heifer that had been born, and basically, after so much time, they discovered that it had a white speck on it, which basically, according to the Bible, had disqualified it for being a clean, unblemished sacrifice that is needed to be made according to the criteria of the sanctification of the temple. Now, this another attempt of having a red heifer, again, is a shadowing of things to come. For the Bible tells us in Hosea, chapter 3, verse 4, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king." And I think we can all agree that that has been true for a number of years, how about over 2,000 years, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. So evidently, we are seeing how the Jews are getting very, very involved in the temple worship, and they're getting involved in the rebuilding of the temple and all of the things that have to do with the fulfillment of this prophecy right before our eyes. It was reported some time ago that the Temple Mount Faithful group had actually, and does, to my knowledge, still sacrifice a lamb during the Passover season. And so they are trying to get back to the biblical celebration and the, might you say, resurrection of the temple worship. This, of course, is going to be fulfilled in the tribulation period and is a absolute indication we are closer than you think. And if by some unusual circumstances you hear this broadcast and you find out that true born-again Bible-believing people who are just have vanished off the face of the earth without any explanation, and you hear this broadcast about what I've just read to you, you'll know that this is all true, that this all came to pass according to what the Bible says, that God had taken out of this world his bride, and now the seven-year tribulation period is primarily dealing with the restoration of the nation of Israel, both physically and spiritually. And of course, we'll see that we'll come back with the Jewish Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, with his bride at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. And we will then see Israel will be placed in its rightful place of authority over this world. And, I know some of you are going to say, well, there you go. See, that's the conspiracy. That's the Jews are trying to take over the world. No, it's simply the reality, the biblical prophecy that God has set Israel to be the dominant nation of all nations. This is his choice. Of course, they will be a righteous nation and they will rule righteously. And God's people, the bride of Christ, will actually be reigning with Christ, not only over Israel, but over all the nations. And that will be the hierarchy in the kingdom, 1,000 millennial kingdom period after the tribulation, seven-year tribulation period is ended. Now for our anti-Semitic watch, many realize that the Yasser Arafat had rejected the Camp David deal that so-called would have brought a Palestinian state, which I'm fully against, and would have brought a Palestinian state into existence alongside the state of Israel. Instead, this whole arrangement that they were intending, Oslo Agreement, all that stuff, had unleashed the so-called Intifada II, which has murdered and maimed thousands of Israelis, brought his own people to the brink of total collapse, talking about Arafat, and made suicide bombing a household phrase. It has also ignited the flames of anti-Semitic hate and increased calls for violence. This hatred is not being contained only in the Middle East. Across Europe and into the Western Hemisphere, Israel and the world's Jews are becoming the targets of an increasingly vicious and frightening anti-Israel bias that is leading many to question, even at the highest levels of intellectual and cultural leadership, Israel's very right to exist. Now, a prominent Greek daily newspaper, Ethnos, had a cartoon in it, and you can see the two Israeli soldiers clad in Nazi-like uniforms adorned with the Star of David, brutally slaughtering two unarmed Palestinians. But what is truly outrageous is what is written in the bubble above the first soldier's head. Quote, "Don't feel guilty, brother," he is telling his comrade. We were not in Auschwitz and Dachau to suffer, but to learn. Three mainstream dailies also printed, one as its front page headline, "As Truth, a Hideous Libel Supplied to the Athean News Agency by a Palestinian Organization in Greece," that Israelis were trafficking the organs of dead Palestinian fighters and performing medical experiments on our prisoners. And it's not just in Greece. Anti-Semitic rhetoric is on the rise in France, Belgium, Germany, Denmark, Norway, Great Britain, the Netherlands, and elsewhere. In addition to the vicious anti-Semitic rhetoric, we are also seeing growing public expressions of sympathy among prominent Europeans for homicide bombers, new calls for boycotts of Israeli goods, and unprecedented calls for economic and intellectual divestment from the Jewish state. In one of the more disturbing examples, Bishop Desmond Tutu, a respected key player in the lifting of apartheid in South Africa, has come out in favor of divestment from Israel as a means to end, quote, the Israeli occupation, unquote. In his argument, he compares Israel to apartheid South Africa and laments the quality of life for Palestinians. Bishop Tutu's calls for divestment have been echoed by intellectual, educational, and government leaders across the globe. This disingenuous argument fails to recognize that Israel, a democracy that guarantees equal rights for all citizens, including Israeli Arabs, is fighting for her life against unending suicide attacks against her citizens. The British director of the Center of Translation into Cultural Studies at the University of Manchester Institute of Science and Technology, Mona Baker, is one academic who took the anti-Israel campaign a step further. Just last month, she fired two scholars from their posts at two highly respected international journals simply because they held Israeli passports. Of course, that was many months ago because this report is older than 2 months. Said Professor Baker, quote, "I am not against Israeli nationals per se. It is Israeli institutions as part of the Israeli state, which I absolutely deplore. Israel has gone beyond just war crimes. Many of us would like to talk about it as some kind of Holocaust," unquote. Outrageously, in a move reminiscent of anti-Jewish policies in Nazi Germany against Jewish academies and academics, Professor Baker later announced she would no longer accept any submission from any Israeli scholar. You may also have heard about the calls for boycotts of Israeli products and services that have been gaining momentum worldwide, with universities, the World Medical Association, labor unions, and trade unions calling for people, governments, institutions to stop investing in the Jewish state or purchasing Israeli-made goods. In Brussels, diamond merchants informed Israeli businessmen that the Belgian government is considering a commercial boycott of Israel, and a humanitarian agency, Oxfam, lobbied Belgium's largest supermarket chain to ban Israeli products. This in a country where local authorities informed the Jews of Antwerp that they could not guarantee the safety of synagogue-goers on the Sabbath morning. The mayor's advice to the Jews, stay home and lock your doors until an anti-Israel protest finishes. In an unsuccessful Norwegian effort to launch a Scandinavian-wide boycott of Israel, products on supermarket shelves were recently marked "Made in Israel" to make it easier for shoppers to carry out the boycott. And the government of Norway even asked the U.S. to confirm that the jets they were purchasing contained no Israeli-made parts, or they would cancel their order. You know what I have to say about all that? Why don't we just go ahead and boycott the Norwegian and Scandinavian and Brussels and Belgian and And why don't we just go ahead and boycott some of these countries because we don't like the way they're treating Israel. Instead of supporting the most democratic country in all of the Middle East, they're doing their best to destroy it. This is nothing less than anti-Semitism on a political and diplomatic order, which I would say it's not very diplomatic, but it is definitely of the highest anti-Semitic order because it's coming from governments. Let me remind any government official from any country in the world who's listening to my voice, and I can assure you that many are across the continents of the world, that the Bible says, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. I will curse them that curses thee. And this has to go with not only individuals, but it definitely, in context, is referring to any nation that rises up against the Jews or the nation of Israel. And you're going to come back and say, you mean to tell me that no matter what Israel does, no matter what the Jews do, we cannot protest against it? I am saying that this is God's people, and God knows how to deal with his people. And if you start going against Israel and the Jewish people, you're going to have to deal with God himself. This is not a justification of anything evil that they have done. This is simply recognizing that you're going to be messing around with God's apple, the apple of his eye. And he is a jealous God. In fact, God calls Israel his wife. And I wouldn't be messing around with God's wife. What's so amazing is that none of these accusations and none of all this rhetoric is justified. It's one-sided and it's duplicity. Because all these countries that are accusing Israel are guilty of the same things they're accusing Israel of. And in Berlin, the government announced a temporary embargo on some military sales to Israel. On yet another front, you've no doubt read that in the Arab world, a popular and widespread boycott of Starbucks and other American businesses heavily promoted on the internet is underway, all because of American support for Israel. All this despite the fact that the suicide bombings have continued unabated and that President Bush recently had presented evidence that Arafat was himself complicit in at least one suicide attack. The European Union continues to send money to Palestinian Authority. The EU has steadfastly failed to conduct an independent investigation to determine if any of their funds are being diverted to support acts of terror. In fact, the EU had announced a further grant of $17.7 million to the Palestinian Authority, and several EU voices had called for sympathy for the suicide bombers rather than for their innocent victims. This total disregard for the toll being taken by homicide bombings on the lives of Israeli citizens persists even in the face of overwhelming evidence that the Arab world is engaged in a systematic effort to destroy Israel and her people. Palestinian Authority sponsored television, also supported financially by the European Union, regularly encourages Jew hatred and violence against Jews. Praise of suicide bombers is common, and even children's programming extols the virtue of martyrs. Yet when President Bush made his recent policy speech about the Middle East, a policy that will have tremendous impact on Palestinian people, the message was censored by, guess who? The Palestinian Authority. Thank you to the Simon Wiesenthal Center for the Documentation, News and Information, courtesy of Zion News International. Now, stay tuned. Don't turn your dial. We have some more great programming for you. In fact, you don't want to miss the message, Israel, America's Key to Survival, by Dr. John Thompson, just coming up, so stay tuned. Thank you. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you're staying with us for the remaining portion of the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. We have a special treat. We're going to let you listen to a message that was done at our annual meeting, and this was then put in a cassette tape and given to every congressman, senator, the President of the United States, Vice President, and also our Attorney General, in hopes that they would consider Israel America's key to survival. And so I want you to pay close attention to this message, and there'll be an introduction by myself on this before the message actually is recorded, and we had to condense it, of course, otherwise it would have gone too long, and we may not be able to finish the whole message on this particular broadcast, but we will finish it, Lord willing, next broadcast. Now, stay tuned and invite as many people as you can. You're about to hear a great message on Israel, America's Key to Survival. And let me remind our listening audience all around the world that you can tap into our website, which is hopeofisrael.net. That's Hope of Israel, all together, no spaces in between the words, hopeofisrael.net. And it's loaded with information on prophecy and the biblical perspective of the tabernacle and many, many, many other good subjects, and also has a listing of our where we're broadcasting throughout the world. Now, listen to this great message, Israel, America's Key to Survival. The following message by Dr. John Thompson was delivered at our annual meeting in Georgia to over 1,000 people from 17 states. As Independent Baptists, we represent over 20,000 churches and approximately 5 million people who love the United States of America, our country. We also appreciate and love God's chosen people, the Jews, and the nation of Israel, to whom we are greatly indebted for our scriptures, salvation, and Savior. We want to thank you in advance for listening to this message, which has been condensed. We believe that Israel is the key to America's survival. May God bless and help America.
I'm telling you, friend, we've done that, boy. God kicked the honey bucket over, buddy. God began to bless the church, sir. Hey, we saw people say, saw the church grow. He said, I'll bless them that bless me. But he also said, I'm going to curse them that curse thee. I'm telling you, friend, there's a graveyard of nations out there.
That's right.
Because they're laying that graveyard because they laid their hand on the Jewish people. And I could run all the way back into Egypt and bring her on up. My son, I'm going to stay where I left you a while ago, man. As the centuries rode on, they went into, matter of fact, the Crusades there. We can go into 1099 where the Crusades took place there. And how that they were, you know, most of us, when we think about the Crusades, we think of knights in shining armor. I mean, with a big shield in the front with a big cross on it, you know, going out to defend God and country and virtuous women, you see. But I'm telling you the truth behind that deal, friend, is everywhere they went, brother, as they walked across Europe, they began to indeed to kill the Jewish people. I mean, listen, they call them Christ killers. And as they walked across there, they would literally walk in the city, hurt them in the synagogue, and burn the synagogue down. And you wonder why it failed. The Crusades. We're talking about the brutalized Jew now. We come on up into the 1400s. Let me get on up there. We come up into the 1400s, and most of us think about Spain and Ferdinand and Isabella. And boy, when we do, we think about Columbus, don't we? And we, as a matter of fact, we'll sing the songs to ourselves that indeed that Columbus, he sailed the ocean blue in 1492. But I've got news for you, friend. In the very same year, matter of fact, the very same day, there in the month of August, they passed that edict there that expelled every Jew out of the nation of Spain. And I'm telling you, they would kill many of them that would not convert. They took their possessions, and the rest of them, they would run out of the country. And it is no coincidence, friend, that within just a few years, that Spanish Armada, the greatest naval fleet that had ever taken the world or taken the seas, lay at the bottom of the ocean. You see, God said, I'll curse them that curse thee. Yeah, man, friend. Boy, we can come on up and see. I mean, matter of fact, in the middle of that 14th century, the Black Plague, they blamed it on the Jews, preacher. I'm telling you, the Jews always been the world's whipping post. Yeah, man. But I'm telling you, they're still God's chosen people. He said, I've loved them with an everlasting love, amen. Exactly. You better be careful how you treat them. May I say, matter of fact, according to Numbers chapter 12, you better be careful how you talk about them.
Yeah, exactly right.
You read that, they talk about Moses. The Bible said, verse 2, God heard it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, but just go ahead and interject this right here. You better be careful how you talk about the man of God, too. Amen. Moses was God's man. And I'm telling you, although he may not be in the car with you, I'm telling you, my friend, he knows every word you said. He's got your mouth marked. Amen. But anyway, we're talking about the Jew. And so we're talking about the brutalized Jew. How that indeed, they were brutalized throughout the world. Boy, I could bring it for sake of time. Let me get on up into the 19th century there in the country of Russia there. And how that, matter of fact, on up into, they begin to have pogroms in 1888, and how a pogrom simply means massacre.
Yeah.
And how they would literally walk into a Jewish village and they would kill many of them and they would burn their possessions down. Pogroms took place. And literally, my friend, on up in the 20th century, a man by the name of Joseph Stalin. Now, stay with me.
Yeah, yeah.
This thing wasn't so high, I'd get down there with everybody. There's a man by the name of Joseph Stalin, friend. He walked into what we call our Congress, with their Politburo that they have there. He walked into that Politburo, and as he sits there, just like the Speaker of the House or the President would come there before our Congress there. He stood before those diplomats that were there. He said, "Here's what we're going to do." He said, "We're going to take every Jewish person in Russia, and we're going to accuse 7 Jewish doctors of trying to poison some of you men sitting right here before me today here in the Politburo. And then indeed riots are going to break out. We'll see to that. Many of them are going to be killed. We're going to walk in there like a great and mighty army, and we're going to rescue them. We're going to put them on trains for their own sake, and we're going to ship them over to Siberia, but we're going to make sure 2/3 don't ever make it there. And the other 1/3 that does get there, we'll starve them to death." He actually said that. It's documented in history. And it's no wonder, friend, that within just a few days, that wicked dictator fell dead. You see, God said, "Don't touch my people. You keep your hand off my people." Zechariah chapter number 2, verse number 8. "He that touches you touches the apple of my eye." That's what he said. He said over in Isaiah 49. He said in Isaiah 49, "I will contend with him that contendeth with thee." He said in Isaiah 57, he said that no weapon that's formed against thee shall ever prosper. He said in Psalms 105, in the verse 15, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." And I know we use that for preachers, but he's talking about the nation
that's
of Israel.
That's exactly what he's talking about. That's
the concept. Amen, amen, amen. And I'm telling you, friend, the Jewish people are going to brutalize. And I think about Hitler. And 6 million Jews that died at the hands of that demonic maniac. Yeah, mate. I'm telling you, my friend, God said you keep your hand off my people. And I'm telling you, my friend, as he puts up in them, listen, as he began that war and you had the Allies and the Axis armies and they were against each other, I'm telling you, friend, nobody could stand in his way. He was a walking across Europe, buddy. He hadn't lost any battles. He took the nation of France.
Yeah.
He walked into Paris, France. Here's what he said. "I'll build my empire on the graveyard of 18 million Jews." Friend, it is no accident that less than 30 days later, he lost his first major battle. And my friend, it led to his downfall. And he died in a bunker there in Germany. But the nation of Israel stands today. Yeah, man, friend. God said you keep your hand off the people. Yeah, man. There came a day one day there in Paris, France, before all this took place, before Hitler got there. There came a day in 1896. Preacher, have I got time to keep going? 1896, a man by the name of Theodore Herzl. At the time, he was a reporter. He went down into Paris, France to cover what was called the Dreyfus trial. Dreyfus was the captain in the Italian army there, or the French army, excuse me. He was a captain there in the army. He had been accused of treason. And when he got there and saw the anti-Semitism that was taking place there, he said, "We've got to do something about this." And he founded what's called the Zionist movement.
That's right.
May I say, friend, right now while I'm thinking about it, I am a Zionist.
Yeah,
I believe Israel, the land belongs to Israel. Amen, brother. That Bible tells me over in the book of Leviticus that, matter of fact, if you want to settle it real quick, the Bible said, the Lord said, "The land is mine." And you know what he said? He said, "I'm giving it to Isaac." Not to Ishmael. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, Theodore Hurst, God raised up Theodore Herzl. And matter of fact, he died a few years later. A man by the name of Shane Wiseman took his place. And I'm telling you, as the years begin to roll by, and I believe with all my heart what I'm about to tell you is true, you see, God's got a clock. And God's clock was ticking. And prophetically, Brother Blue, prophetically, Israel had to be back in the land.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm telling you, friend, World War I got the land ready for the people, and World War II got the people ready for the land.
That's
exactly right, friend. World War I got the land ready for the people, and World War II got the people ready for the land. Let me explain that to you while I'm right there. You see, my friend, World War I took place in what, 1914 to 1918. And indeed, as these armies that had joined together, these Axis armies, and were fighting against these others, including Great Britain there, how that indeed, my friend, that there came a day when they began to run out of a material that was called cordite. Now, cordite was used in the manufacture of gunpowder.
Yeah.
And Great Britain is fighting a war, and I mean they're fighting for their very life, and they're about out of gunpowder. Pretty serious business, don't you think? And so they turned to a young man by the name of Shane Wiseman. I ain't saying it right. How you say it?
Chaim.
Just like that. Amen. And so they turned to a young man by the name of Shane Wiseman. Amen. And so indeed, he was a chemist there. And they said, can you do anything? Can you make us some kind of synthetic product? And I'm telling you, friend, he come back with a chemical formula for what we call TNT. It's more volatile. It's more volatile than gunpowder ever thought about being. It literally gave the edge of the war to the Allied armies that were there.
That's right.
Yeah, man, friend.
That's right.
Matter of fact, my friend, in 1917, I'm telling you, friend, they were so pleased and so happy with what Wiseman had done for them. They brought him there and said, we want to do something for you. We want to reward you some way or another. He said, man, I don't want anything you've got. All I want you to do is pray and look about putting Israel back in the land of Palestine. And I'm telling you, therefore, my friend, in 1917, in the House of Commons, Lord George walked in and the Balfour Declaration was issued, which simply said, His Majesty's government looks with favor upon the establishment in the land of Palestine, a homeland for the Jewish people. World War I got the land ready for the people. In 1917, a general by the name of General Allenby, a very godly man. I mean, a man who loved God, but you read his history. He was a member of Francis Dixon's church in Barmouth, England. They commissioned him to lead an expedition against the land of Palestine and to liberate it. He landed there in Egypt, and he massed his soldiers there. And I'm telling you, man, my friend, that dear godly man of God, and no doubt he had conferences with Lord Balfour and all these other men, but I'm telling you, my friend, he went to a higher power. He got down on his knees. He besought God about what to do about the matter. Here's exactly what he done. You see, airplanes had just been invented in those days. People never had seen them. I mean, we're talking about the 1917. They had just, man, they just invented the things at Kitty Hawk.
That's right.
And here's what he done. He took a little white piece of the paper. Let's see if I got a handkerchief. He took a little white piece of the paper. And he wrote on there in Aramaic. He said, get out of Jerusalem now and signed it Allenby. He said, why did he do that, preacher? He was praying God would give him the seed without firing a shot. He said so much blood had been shed there, he wouldn't take it without firing a shot. He loaded those little leaflets up in an airplane. They flew over Palestine, which was, by the way, had been under the Ottoman Empire for 400 years. The Ottomans were no pushover people, buddy. They was like the old Assyrian. They were very hostile. And my friend, they were very bold and they were very fierce people. But they were also very superstitious people.
Yeah, they were.
Here come these big birds flying out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, one of them said, man, I don't know. And all of a sudden, these white leaflets come down. And you see, when they printed it out, Brother Don, when they printed it out, it said, get out of Jerusalem now. Ollie. Their God. It didn't come out right. Instead of Allenby, it was Ollie. History says they fled out of Israel and went back to Turkey. and my friend, indeed, Alan B. walked into Jerusalem and never fired a shot. Check me out, brother. Check me out. He never fired a shot. Go to Isaiah chapter number 30. Go to Isaiah chapter number 30. Preacher, I can go another 30 minutes at least, brother. Isaiah chapter 30. Look at it real quick. And I don't listen. Stay with me. I mean, I didn't write the Bible. I am fixing to read it. The multitude of shepherds is called forth against him. He will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. Next verse. As birds fly, just like a bird would fly. I mean, it looks like a bird to me, brother. As birds fly, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver, and passing over, he will preserve. You want to see a little bit more? Come on down to verse number 8. Then shall the Assyrian fall with a sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall what? He shall flee from the sword. That's exactly what he did. He fled Jerusalem and went right back over into Turkey. Look at the next verse. He shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of what? That ensign, that sign that fell from heaven, amen. I didn't write it, I just read it to you. Yeah, man, friend, it happened just that way, brother. Exactly the way it happened. Amen, 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 amen. And so indeed, we find that Adam took the city, and so World War I, gossip, you see, in 1922, the League of Nations was brought about, and it was later abolished, matter of fact, and in 1945, the UN took its place, and I wish the UN would be abolished today, amen. But then we'll find that indeed the League of Nations, that was extra, amen. And so we'll find the League of Nations came into existence. And you know what they done? They turned around and gave Palestine to Great Britain to police and do what they gave them the British mandate. World War I got the land ready for the people. Now, here's the problem. At the end of World War I, there weren't but about 70, different authors tell you different ones, I'm going to say 70, 80,000 Jewish people living in Israel.
How about that?
So here was the problem. They had the land now. Lord Balfour had gave them that edict to go, they could go home, but there wasn't no Jewish people there.
Yeah.
Jewish people begin to come back. They begin to flock back to it. Matter of fact, Great Britain, after Balfour and all of them, they came out of office, and how that indeed that they begin, Great Britain tried to renege on the Balfour Declaration, and they begin to issue white papers to limit the amount of immigration or the aliyah that would take place back into the land of Israel. While I'm there, England, my friend, there was a time when England loved God. They gave us our blessed King James Bible, brother. They gave us men back like F.B. Meyer and Spurgeon and Robert Murray McShane and men such as that, friend. But there come a day when they turn their back upon Israel, brother. And I'm telling you today, they're less than 2% Christian. Today, they're less than 2% Christian. I will bless them to bless them. I will curse them that curse thee. And although they gave us that Bible, and although they gave us those men of God, they turned on the Jewish people, and look where they're at today. It scares me, Brother Jones. It scares me what our president and our leaders are doing under the table just to make friends with the Arabs. Just to make friends. You see, that's all Great Britain was trying to do. They're trying to please those Arab nations there. They started rising up and hollering and screaming and cussing. And I'm telling you, they didn't like all these Jews coming back over there. So in order to try to please them, they gave the white papers and began to hold back on the immigration. And I'm telling you, I think Gerald Miller, you know, I didn't like him when he was governor. But I say I like what he said. I mean, I like what he said one time anyway. When he started talking about this country of Iraq, and he got talking about Al Qaeda. He said when he was raised as a boy, he said that he was there in his backyard, and one day said a snake come up there and said he hauled out to his daddy, and his daddy walked out there with a shovel and he cut that snake's head off. He said he didn't walk over to the neighbors and ask him if he could cut the head off. He didn't go over there and ask him to come help him cut the head off. He just went and cut the head off. And I'm telling you, friend, we better learn. Lord, amen. I'm telling you, friend, we better take a stand, amen. It scares me what's being done under the table, behind the scenes, to try to please the Arab nation.
And that's exactly right, and I agree with him 100%. Well, if you've enjoyed this great message that's given to the senators and the congressmen of our nation, including the White House, I believe that you'll want to come back and listen to the other half of this. But we thank God that you've listened so far. Hope that it's helped you understand that Israel is the key to America's survival. Well, you might be a senator or a congressman, and you received one of these tapes, and I sure hope that you've taken serious consideration as to what you're going to do to help promote the existence of the nation of Israel. And let me remind you folks that the Bible is very clear. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee, referring to Israel now, shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Keep his covenant and show with mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.